We are going to begin where we left off 2 weeks ago. If you have that good of a memory and you remember where we were, you probably don't, so I'll tell you. 1 Kings chapter 3. At this point, this is the 8th message on the heart. Titled these, Keep Thy Heart. We have been through a number of different hearts, including a broken heart, a proud heart, a clean heart, a single heart, a double heart, a merry heart, a hard heart, a contrite heart, a humble heart, a tender heart, a perfect heart, a trembling heart, a fixed heart. And we left off on an understanding heart. So I looked at this passage right at the end of the last message. I thought we would start here again because it's so good. 1 Kings 3 is Solomon. He's just become the king over Israel. He's following a great king, his father David. And let's take a look at 1 Kings 3:5, and you'll see that this is right at the beginning when Solomon is right after Solomon's crowned king. 1 Kings 3:5, and Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And before I go on, everybody always likes to think about what they would do if they could have anything they wanted in the entire world. You've heard the stories about, if you had a genie comes along and says, I'll give you anything you want. I'll give you 3 wishes. What would you wish for? Well, this is not a genie. This is the Lord. And the Lord is asking Solomon what he wants, and he's going to give it to him. Of course, it's based on what Solomon asked for. Solomon actually asked for the right thing, and look what happens. Verse 6, and Solomon said, Thou shalt unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Now, before I go on, how old do you think Solomon is whenever he becomes king? Is he a little child? Yeah, I'm guessing 20s, 30s, maybe. So why does he say, I am but a little child? Any thoughts on that? Inexperience. Good. Okay. What's your Bible say about little children? What does the Lord Jesus Christ say about little children? He actually uses them as an example of humility. Actually points to a little child whenever the disciples are talking about how to be great. He points to a child and says, except ye be as little children. And there's humility and a simple-mindedness that goes along with being a child. And a child who really is interested in knowing some things has to acknowledge there's a lot I don't know. So that's what Solomon does. He acknowledges there's a lot I don't know, but I need to know, especially if I'm going to be the king. So if you go on here, he says, verse 8, thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. So that's the first heart we'll talk about tonight. Several verses on an understanding heart. And look why he asked for an understanding heart. There's a few reasons. Number one, to judge thy people. Number two, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? So Solomon knew that he could not handle the job of king on his own. He knew he would need the Lord's help. He knew that he could not make decisions on his own that would please the Lord, that would lead the people the right way. He knew that he needed God's discernment, God's understanding to see things the right way. So Solomon serves as a great example of needing an understanding heart. And then if you look on there, verse 10, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And if you go on there, he gives him an understanding heart. And Solomon, as a result, is known as the wisest man in the entire world. I believe that's because of God, and because God gave him the wisdom he needed because he asked for an understanding heart. So with understanding, with an understanding heart comes the wisdom of God as displayed by Solomon. So let's look at several passages here about an understanding heart. Go to Job 38. How many of y'all remember Y2K? Remember that? 1998, 1999, the whole world was just, well, a lot of people were flipping out. I remember a very prominent evangelist coming to our church back in Tennessee, 98, 99, probably around 99, early 99. And he scared everybody thinking that in 2000 we were all headed for who knows what. He scared the whole, practically the whole church. And I remember talking to my principal at the time at the school there. He actually, the next day, I think it was, this guy preached Sunday night, and everybody was just really just turned on their head thinking, what in the world do we do? And my principal wasn't all that old, probably in his 40s, and he comes to me and says, hey, Michael, what'd you think about that guy last night? I said, man, I'm kind of freaked out. I'm not real sure about all this. He says, that guy's full of baloney. He said, you got nothing to worry about. And he was right. And I look back on that and I think, that's a guy that he helped me out a whole lot in many different ways, this principle. Just a really wise man who understood some things because of two reasons. Number one, he knew the Lord. He walked with the Lord. And number two, he had some life experience in seeing how the Lord worked for a time. And when you have that, here's what an understanding heart will do for you. You will see the world as God sees it. Now, is God afraid of the world? Is God afraid of the most powerful people in the world? Why are you? You got no reason to. I got no reason to. But I have seen Christians get all scared about, did you hear what this guy said? Did you hear what? I'll just use an example. Remember back when Hillary was running for president? Did you hear what she said? What is she? I mean, if she becomes president, what are we going to do? People were literally scared about that. And you have nothing to be afraid of if you know the Lord. If you see things through the eyes of the Lord, you know what's ahead. You know things are going to get really bad before they get good. Did you catch that? It's going to get bad, yeah, for Christians before it gets good. You say, well, the rapture, that's a good thing. Like I said, it's probably going to get really bad before it gets really good for us. We've already seen just a little bit of that, haven't we? And to prepare the way for the tribulation, you know that things are going to get pretty rough beforehand. So go to Job 38. Let's just see what the book of Job says about an understanding heart. 38:33. Chapter 38, verse 33. This is the chapter where the Lord shows up. So this is the Lord talking. Look what he says to Job. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Okay, there's two questions right there. This chapter is full of questions posed by God to these men, Job and his buddies. So let's answer that first question. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Can you explain how all the planets move and how the sun and all that works? Can you explain all that? You could try. And you're going to fall short. So the answer to that is no. Look at the second question in verse 33. Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? No. How about the next verse? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds that abundance of waters may cover thee? Can you make it rain? Science has been trying to do this for a long time and failed miserably. Verse 35, canst thou send lightnings that they may go to thee? Here we are. You got any control of the lightning? Do the greatest of scientists have any control of the lightning? Absolutely not. Look at verse 36. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Okay, let's answer that one. We can actually answer that one. It's not a yes or no question. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Only God can put wisdom within you or me. Only God can do that. Look at the second question. Or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who's the only one that can give understanding to your heart? The Lord God Almighty. And Solomon serves as an example. If you need understanding, ask God. If any man lack wisdom, James says, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So ask God for wisdom. Ask God for an understanding heart, and he'll give it to you. If you're serious about it, he'll give it to you. Go to Proverbs. There's a couple here in Proverbs let's look at about an understanding heart. Proverbs 8. Understanding heart. Oh, we sure need this, don't we? I've said this before, but the world watches believers. You know that? The world watches Christians to see how they respond. There's a, you know how I follow sports, and there's, in Louisiana, still, even though I don't live in Louisiana, I went to high school there, college there. So I follow the Louisiana baseball scene. And my rival high school, when I was living in Louisiana, the school that I went to had a big rival. And that rival high school, they just do nothing but win and win and win and win and win. And so they won a state championship this year, so I followed that. Something very interesting happened after the game. The coach, he's the same coach today that was the coach when I was in high school. He's been there 30-some years. Great coach. The coach of the winning team, after the game, goes to the losing team coach and says some choice words. I'll just keep it at that. He says some choice words. Very unkind. So the losing coach goes on media after this, on TV and radio, and he says, he obviously didn't like what the winning coach said to him. He thought it was very inappropriate. And he says something along the lines of this. He says, when a man is going through a difficult time, you see what he's really made of. Now, the strange thing about this is this guy had just won a state championship. But some things had been said between the teams before, during, and after the game that led this fella to go off on this other coach. And he said, you see the true character of a man in situations like that. I say that the world's watching Christians because they're going to see their perception of who Jesus Christ is seen whenever Christians, that's us right here, go through tough times. They're watching how we respond. And how you respond in tough times is an indication of the condition of your heart. Sure is. Just keep that in mind. Proverbs 8, look at verse 4. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. See, isn't that interesting? The Lord's desire is that the simpletons and the fools will call on the Lord and ask of him so that they have an understanding heart, so that they have wisdom. And if you go into verse 6, great verse. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. You know what you find all over your Bible? You're reading God's words, you're finding excellent things. Isn't this a great book? Excellent things found from God's words. And then it says, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. I think you have a great description of the Bible right there. You know what this is? This is a book of excellent things. It comes from the mouth of God. This is a book of right things in a messed up, wrong world. Right here on the page, on the written page. Then he says, verse 7, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Watch verse 9. They are all plain to him that... What's that say? Let me finish the verse. They are all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. Okay, so he mentioned an understanding heart. And then he goes on in verse 9 to say, they, talking about the words of God's mouth, they are all plain to him that understandeth. Now, I think that's an interesting verse. A person who has an understanding heart, and God gave them the understanding heart, when they look at the Word of God, oh yes, even the King James Bible, they will say, those words are pretty plain. Now, a lot of folks will look at the King James Bible and say, I don't get that. I don't understand those words. How come you don't understand the words of the King James Bible? Well, it could be two reasons. Number one, a person who's not saved is not going to have an understanding because they don't have the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you this, a person who is saved, they will not have understanding unless they have an understanding heart that they have asked the Lord to give them. So when you open up the Bible, you need to ask the Lord, not just once, but every time you open the Bible, say, Lord, I need an understanding heart so that these words are not foreign to me, they are plain to me. You ever notice how the King James Bible is written in such a way that not just anybody can understand it? God did that on purpose. He wanted you and I to have to lean on Him to have the understanding we need. Interesting. Zane was just saying, is that in Utah? They banned the Bible. But which Bible did they ban?
The real Bible.
The other ones are okay because those are not so offensive. So, yeah, the Book of Mormon stayed in there too. What a thing. I wonder if there's an agenda behind that one. Go to Proverbs 14. Interesting about understanding heart. Proverbs 14. Now, I say all that because if you are not serious about having understanding of the Bible and having an understanding heart, if you're not serious, God knows that. He can see right through that. So you better be sincere and serious when you ask the Lord for an understanding heart. You've got to have a personal desire to really know what God said. God's going to see through it if you're not sincere and serious about that. I say that because I think a lot of folks will read the Bible and come away and say, I just don't get it. I wonder a lot of times, do you really want to understand it? Or do you just want it spoon-fed to you all the time? Because you can get that in church, can't you? You can get that, and that's good. You should get that. But you also ought to be able to feed yourself. You can't feed yourself unless you have a heart that understands that only God can give you. Proverbs 14, look at 33. End of the chapter here, or close to the end. Proverbs 14, 33. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Okay, so notice that verse, the first half of verse 33. You have wisdom, and then you have the word heart, and then you have the word understanding. So God often uses those two words, wisdom and understanding. They're not the same, but they have a lot in common. Wisdom is something that you get from God that enables you to make the right kind of decisions. Understanding is a perspective that God gives you so that you can see the world and see everything the way that He sees it Himself. Okay, how about one more? Go to Isaiah. This is a neat one here. Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44. And then we'll end up over here in the New Testament. Isaiah 44. 44:17. 44:17. This is God talking about the heathen and some of the foolish things that they do here. And we'll get down to the part about the heart and have an understanding here. Look at verse 17. 44:17. And the residue thereof he maketh a god. Notice that's a little g, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. Notice the little G's there in verse 17. Verse 18, they have not known nor understood. For he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. So let me stop there. I'll read verse 19, but let's just stop right there. A person who has false gods set up in their hearts will never have a heart that understands who the Lord is. It's not going to have it. Look at verse 19. It says, and none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof, I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? So what you have there is a guy asking a lot of questions that just severely lacks some basic understanding. That kind of man, look at verse 20 here. Rather than me tell you, it says it very clearly. He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? So here's a fellow who lacks an understanding heart. Notice the result is his heart is deceived, and he just cannot even see where he's going wrong. Does that describe a whole lot of our world? You try to reason with them from the Scriptures. You try to reason with them common sense, and they just can't see it. They've got a deceived heart. They've got a heart that has no understanding. Sad state our world's in right there. I think that's pretty clear. The world has all kinds of gods, little g gods, that they put ahead of the one true God, and as a result, they lack understanding. Okay, go to Matthew 13. How about one in the New Testament? You're familiar with this passage. Once we get there, you'll see. Matthew 13, you know, this is the chapter on the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, well, there's a lot of stuff. This chapter is just loaded. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven found in this chapter. Matthew 13, verse 15. Actually, look at verse 14. And you'll see that this is actually the reason why the Lord spoke in parables. 13, 14. He says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's, what's their problem? This people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, are you noticing the connection? We've seen this a few times here. The connection with hearing and understanding. If a person is not willing to sit under God's Word, whether it's being taught or preached, or they're just reading it for themselves, if they're not willing to hear, they don't have a chance of ever having any kind of understanding of what they're hearing or what they're reading. So I say that because we go to the doctor, we get our heart checked out, don't we? They use the stethoscope. You can even check your pulse to see what... If you're sitting here right now and you check your pulse and it's 120, 130, something's wrong. Should be about 70, 80. About right, Miss Katie? 60 to 80 right now? So we check this thing right here. Some of y'all have kind of the same thing I have here. This thing right here tells me all about how my heart's doing. And that's one of the reasons I got it, so I could just kind of monitor that, particularly when I exercise. We're so concerned about, man, is my heart okay? Or we should be. Older folks, you get to be like that whether you like it or not. Younger folks, you need to as well. Younger folk that are here, be concerned about the condition of your heart. We check it, and we can tell pretty quick what kind of condition it's in based on just taking a pulse or taking a blood pressure. How much more important should we be checking the condition of our heart spiritually? Isn't that a whole lot more important? Whole lot more important. Okay, Zane said every day. I check my pulse every day. And now the watch tells me, makes it easy for me. I can check it. I think it would be a good practice for all of us to check the condition of our heart spiritually on a daily basis. You might want to pray and say, Lord, am I going the right direction? Is my heart where it should be? And if not, will you show me where it's wrong so I can get it right? Lord, show me where my heart might be just a little bit off so that I can get it spiritually back in tune with where it needs to be. Okay, go over to Joshua chapter 2. That's an understanding heart. He probably preached many messages on the understanding heart. That's some good stuff right there. Go to Joshua 2. Let's see if we can cover another one here. Joshua 2. There's a bunch of verses on this one. I only picked out a few. Let's see if we can get through at least a few of them, at least a couple of them. Joshua chapter 14. So there's another one, an understanding heart. How about... This, by the way, this heart that I'm going to show you here has absolutely nothing to do with an understanding heart. Maybe you can make some connections, but we're kind of turning the page here with where we're going and obviously with the pages of your Bible. So go to Joshua chapter 2. A little context here. This is the chapter where Rahab, remember Rahab? She hides the spies. Remember there was This time there's only two spies that went out, and they went to look at Jericho to see what the condition of that city was and find out a little bit about the people, and Rahab hides them. If you look at Joshua 2, look at verse 9, look what Rahab says. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land shall faint because of you. Okay, now before I go on, you remember, Rahab's an inhabitant of Jericho. She's a resident of Jericho. She's a Gentile. At this point in history, these Israelites are making their way to the promised land, and the Lord has delivered the promised land to them. And apparently the word has gotten around that these are God's people and you don't mess with them. Amen to that, right? These are God's people and you don't mess with God's people because the Lord's on their side. If only the world would have that idea, right? One day they will. Look at verse 9. And she said, I just read that. Okay, look at verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Watch verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did what? Melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven and in earth beneath. Okay, so she has a real fear of the Israelites because God's on their side. And she describes her people. She says, our hearts did melt. So I thought we'd spend a couple minutes here talking about a melted heart. Kind of unusual, but there's a few of these in the Bible. Now, when I say that, before I give you what I have down in my notes here, before I go on to this, when you think of a heart that melts, you can be honest, it's okay. What comes to mind? You don't have to sound spiritual. Thank you, Zayn, thanks for being honest there. Usually there's some kind of romance. Oh, my heart melted when I saw him or her, right? So there's usually something of that thought. Anything else? Okay, but you're going spiritual on me here, Miss Cookie. We'll get there in a second. You're right, yeah. Usually when the world talks about a heart that melts, it's usually like this. A heart that is softened by some act of love or affection someone displays to them. Okay, so that's the world. You know that I could not find a single verse in the Bible that lined up with that definition. Just like the world to get it wrong when it comes to a melting heart. So here's what you will find when you look at a melted heart in the Bible. Go ahead, Miss Cookie. Fear or discouragement. You see this with Rahab. She's scared. Her and her people are scared of the Israelites because the Lord's on their side and they're conquering all these other people. So there's fear and discouragement. She's like, what are we going to do? So let's look at a couple of these. Go to Joshua 14. I'll just show you, look at two more of these. I'll give you the references for a few more, but we'll look at two of these. Joshua 14, a melted heart. This is Caleb. Oh boy, you talk about a hero of the Old Testament, Caleb. And this is they're in the Promised Land at this point, and Caleb says, I want my piece of real estate that I was promised. So look what he says here, verse 7. 14:7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Now, remember, if you remember, Caleb and Joshua were two of the 12 that went in later. Actually, they went in back in the book of Numbers. That was before the two. They went in, and 10 came back and said, we can't go. They were scared, and then two came back. Joshua and Caleb said, the Lord will take care of us. Let's go. But look what he says here about the people of Israel at that time. Verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people do what? Melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Did you know that the Lord does not want you to have a melted heart? He does not want you to have fear and discouragement in your hearts. If you have fear and discouragement in your heart, a melted heart like the Israelites had, what was the result of that? What happened to them for having a melted heart? They wandered around for 40 years. The Lord the way the Lord counts things is very interesting. Those 12 spies went in the land to spy out the land for 40 days. The punishment for not believing that God would deliver the land to them was wandering 40 years. So there's a connection between a day and a year there, which helps you interpret biblical prophecy, by the way. It's a whole lot on that with Daniel's 70th week, with the day-year setup. But that 40 days turns into 40 years of wandering. And the whole reason they wandered is because they had a melted heart. Now, let's dig into this for a second. A melted heart is a heart of fear and discouragement. The reason why those Israelites had a melted heart, bottom line is this. They did not believe what God said about giving them that land. And by the way, that was promised way back to Abraham. And that was passed down to Isaac, Jacob, 12 tribes, all those years. And finally, they were going to have the opportunity to have that land. And they said, no, we can't do it. They did not trust God because they didn't believe that God would deliver the land into their hands. You will have a melted heart if you don't just trust what God said. You know any Christians that have melted hearts right now? You probably do. They just don't spend time in God's Word. Therefore, if you don't spend time in God's Word, you're not going to know what God said. So you're probably not going to believe what God said. So you don't want to have a melted heart. Let's see. How about 2 Samuel 17? I'll show you this one, and I'll give you a couple of references here for a melted heart. 2 Samuel 17. Now this is, David is the king, but you remember old Absalom, his son, he's going to take over. Got a little rebellion going on here. And one of the counselors, he was actually David's counselor, and then he actually goes over to Absalom's side, Hushai the Archite. And if you look here, Hushai, actually David's friend, and he pretends as if he's on Absalom's side here. And if you look what he says here to Absalom, he's advising him about concerning David. In verse 8, 17:8. For, said Hushai, talking to Absalom, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field, and thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place, and it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. Watch verse 10. And he also, that is valiant, talking about David, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall do what? Shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. So if you go on here, he gives this whole scenario where he lays out the battle plan to overtake David. And the desire there is that David will have a heart that melts instead of having a valiant heart. Notice it's the heart of a lion. You know anybody in history called the lion-hearted? Is it Richard the lion-hearted? Right out of your King James Bible, they get that. So a melted heart would be the opposite of a valiant heart or the heart of a lion. This would be a fearful heart. A heart that does not know what's going to happen and results in great discouragement. So you want to stay away from that. Trust the Lord. He'll keep you from having a heart that melts. So I'll give you a couple references. If you want to go to Isaiah 13, verses 6 through 9, you'll see some more on a melted heart. We won't go over there for time's sake. And then Ezekiel 21, verses 6 and 7. I got to close in a place here, and I'll pick this up next time. Let's go to one more to close here. I don't want to end on a sour note with a melt. You don't want to have a melted heart, right? So I have to connect this. We've got to close on this one. Go to Jeremiah 20. And instead of a melted heart, here's what you want to have. I'll give you one verse now, and then we'll pick this up on next time. Jeremiah 20. Now, you know Jeremiah. He was a bold man of God. But there came a time where Jeremiah got a little discouraged here. And this is the chapter where that happens. If you look down there, Jeremiah 20, verse 7. Look what he says here. 20, 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. And I am in derision daily. Every one mocketh me. So Jeremiah licking his wounds here a little bit. Verse 8. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. So notice the discouragement here in Jeremiah. Verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. Now, I'm going to stop right there. At this point, what kind of heart does Jeremiah have? He got a melted heart. Doesn't say that. But he sure does line up. He's discouraged because he's being mocked. He's discouraged and he's just downtrodden because nobody will listen to him and he's just telling people what God told him to say. So you can understand why that would set in. Maybe you've been there before. But then look at the rest of verse 9. Look what it says here. But his word was in mine heart as a what? A burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You know what that means right there? Jeremiah gave up. And he said, I'm not, Lord, I'm tired of this. I'm not going to do this anymore. I quit. I'm not going to speak up for you anymore. But the Lord just didn't let that happen. And the reason why is because down in the heart of Jeremiah, guess what was in there? God's words. And because God's words were down in there, Jeremiah, it says there, he says, I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. He could not just keep his mouth shut. What did he have to do? He had to tell people what God said. He had to do that because what kind of heart did he have? He had a burning heart. Says right there, his word was in mine heart as a burning fire. So when God's word is in your heart, it's kind of like the wood is present so that the fire can burn when it's down there. And if God's word's not in your heart, you're never going to speak up for the Lord. But if God's word's in there, sooner or later, you're going to have to. Y'all give me time to go one more real quick. It'd be good to connect this one. Let's go to Jeremiah 36. Jeremiah 36. So, a burning heart. A heart that burns with fervor for the Lord because you just have to give out what God told you to give out. That's good. It's the kind of heart Jeremiah had. Now, if you remember, you get a chapter here. Jeremiah 36 is a real neat chapter. Go down to verse 22. We'll pick it up here in a minute. But this chapter, you find out about how God preserved His Word. Because Jeremiah has a scribe. And his name is Baruch. And what Jeremiah does here is the Lord tells Jeremiah what to say, so he says it. Baruch writes it down, so it's on the page. You got God's word written on the page. It's spoken, and then it's written on the page. Whole chapter here on Bible inspiration and preservation, Jeremiah 36. Well, look what happens when somebody who does not care at all about God's words gets a hold of that written page. Look at verse 22. Back it up here to verse 21. 21. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now, the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. What did that king do with that written page there, that written roll? He didn't care about it at all. He didn't like it. Had no respect for it at all. Throws it in the fire, and it burns. So God's word is destroyed, right? God's word is destroyed, right? No! You better say no to that. God preserves His word. You know what happens later on in this chapter? God tells Jeremiah what to say, and Baruch writes it down again. Problem solved. Can't get rid of God's words. But I wanted to connect that with a burning heart because of this. What a person does with God's words determines whether God's words burn within that person, like Jeremiah, or whether that person burns in hell because they reject God's words. I think that's interesting. Of all the things that he could have done with that role, he throws it in the fire and it burns, and his heart is not affected at all. He does not care. This guy, his heart is, like we saw there in Matthew 13, it's dull of hearing. Doesn't care. And it just so happens to be the same fella. The king is doing this with a roll that's spoken and obviously written down by the same fella who, just a few chapters earlier, had a heart that burned because God's words were in there. Isn't that something? See, if God's words are in a man, his heart will burn and he just has to say something. But if a man rejects God's words, he'll just throw God's words in a fire and it won't bother him. It will not affect his heart at all. So God's words will give you an understanding heart. Your heart will melt and ultimately burn if you reject God's words, but there will be a burning within you when God's words reside within your hearts. So, you got an understanding heart. You got a melted heart. Don't want that one, right? And you got a burning heart. You just want to make sure that your heart burns for the right things. First and foremost, your heart burns because God's words in your hearts. And if God's words in your heart, you will have a desire and a fervor for the right things. So, all right, thanks for letting me finish up there. We're getting a little overtime here, so let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your words again, how they are just pure and plain right in front of us. And we can see our great need right now to just ask you for an understanding heart so that we can not only understand your word, but also see this world as we should. And I pray that as we go out of here tonight and days ahead, we would see this world and see people that need you like you do. And see people that just need, maybe saved people just need a word of encouragement just as you do. And we would give out exactly what you want us to. May the things be in our heart that would come forth out of our lips, that would be used by you to bring you honor, to bring you glory, and to fulfill your will for our lives. We just thank you again for our opportunity to meet tonight, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.